Good morning. Today's daf Mitzia Lamed. Hey, we're Lamed Alman Beis. We're going to be starting with the words Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna is going to introduce a chiddush. Before we get to the chiddush, let's go back over the Mishnah. Let's review. What happened was is that there was a shomer, and the shomer couldn't produce the item that he was supposed to watch, and because the item was stolen from him or it was lost. And for making this as simple as possible, because boy oh boy, it's not going to be simple in just a moment. But making this as simple as possible. So what happens is that he would like now to pay. In other words, he doesn't have to pay. He could just simply make a shvua. He's a shomer chinam, and he can make a shvua. And we know that a shomer chinam is potter by geneva v'aveda. So he could just simply say, "Look, I don't have the item anymore. It was stolen from me. I'm really sorry. Let's go to Beis Din. I'll make a shvua, and let's all go home." Okay. And fine, and you could do that. But instead, he opts to pay for the item. He doesn't have to, but he opts to pay for the item. So good. So far, so good. The Mishnah tells us that when he pays for the item, so now, in the event that the ganav is found, and the ganav now has to pay for the principal value of the item, and the ganav has to pay kefal, he, the shomer, will be the collector of kefal. Meaning, when he bought the item, he purchased kefal rights. So that was all of yesterday's daf. As we introduced ourselves to the third parak of Bamitziah, parak HaMafkin, so we introduced ourselves to this idea that when the shomer pays for the item, he's paying for the kefal rights. So yesterday we went through the classic Gemara of how can you do that? You're buying something which is coming in the future, and how can you buy a future? So good, so that's yesterday's daf. So and we jumped that hurdle. So far, so good. So in the event that you decide you're not going to make a shvua, so now you pay for the item and you get to collect the kefal. So far, so good. And that brings us now to our Gemara today. Amar Rav Huna. Mashmin oso shvua shein b'rishusa ma'itayim ha'cheshin and shema ein av nasan ba. So Rav Huna introduces now the following. The shomer says, I don't want to make a shvua. I'd rather not make a shvua. So therefore, I'm going to pay you. And if you read the Mishnah, then you walk away thinking, okay, he doesn't make a shvua. Rav Huna says he's going to make a shvua. Again, the he over here, the shomer. The shomer is going to make a shvua. Wait one second. Wait, he wanted not to make a shvua. So Rav Huna says, yeah, the shvua of pottering himself, he's not going to make. But there is another shvua that he has to make, which is he has to make a shvua that he doesn't have the item by him. Okay. Why in the world would he make that? Would he need to make such a shvua? So Rav Huna actually told us. I read it. I just didn't explain it yet. Chayshinan shema inav nasanba. Because here's our concern. Our concern is that the shomer developed an attachment to the item that he was watching. And so he felt that, you know what? I know the right thing to do, of course, is to return it to him. But all I have to do is just simply say the item was ganvind or the item was lost. I don't even have to pay for it then. I could just simply make a shvua. But I don't want to do that. So what I'll do is that I'll tine a geneva v'aveda, and I'll pay for it, right? And they'll think I'm such a good guy. And meanwhile, I get to keep the item. Okay. So Rav Huna says the chachamim were concerned about that, and because of that concern, so now we're going to tell them you, the shomer, have to make a shvua that the item is not by you. Meaning, I know you said it was ganvind, I know you said it was lost, but you make a shvua to that effect. Okay. Which, by the way, if you think about it, just for a moment. Right? So ironic. Right? I'd rather not make a shvua. I'd rather pay for it. Oh, okay, fine. Come in and make a shvua. It's a little bit strange, I have to admit, but that's the chiddush of Rav Huna. Now, this shvua that we're describing over here, shvua de araisa? Hard to imagine. In other words, it seems like what Rav Huna is introducing is some shvua de rabbanan as a cautionary. Meaning, we're really concerned that instead of the item actually being stolen or actually being lost, it's there. He got an attachment to the item. Okay, so we'd like to avoid that, and good. So when we're going to make a mishvah, meitzvei. Phil's point, which I'd like to reiterate and emphasize, meaning the shvua to potter himself that he's electing not to make. That's a bona fide shvua. That's a shvua min haTorah. That's a shvua zashomrim. Correct. And this shvua now that we're adding, it sounds like a shvua de rabbanan. As always, by the way, I reserve the right to be wrong, and it could be that this is a shvua de raisa, could be, but regardless, good. So this is Rav Huna's chiddush, is that there's going to be a shvua being made by the shomer, and the shvua is the item is not by me. I know that's what I claim, but I'm making a shvua to that effect as well. Okay, meisvei. So now what we're going to do is we're going to start with now with the Mishnah. Now this Mishnah is found in Masechtah Shavuos. It's on Daf Mem Gimel in Shavuos. And I know, right? There's a lot going on in this Mishnah, and I'm going to go over too fast. I know that already. The beauty, if you're listening on the recording, is you get to play it again and again and again until you get sick of my voice. I already am. But I know it's going too fast. This Mishnah is a composite of four different scenarios over here. We have a Malva, we have a Lova, and we have a Mashkon. Okay, and what we're going to have over here is a disagreement in terms of how much was the Halva'a and how much was the Mashkon worth. And four different scenarios. Number one, Amar lo selevitichala v'shakal yeshava. Okay, so we have over here the following. And that is that the as far as the Malva is concerned, you owe me a Sela. Good. So that's accusation from the Malva. The Lova says that's true. I'm sorry. V'shekel hayashave. Now, as far as the Mashkon is concerned, the Mashkon that you did give me, meaning when I lent you the money, you gave me a Mashkon. The Mashkon was a shekel. Shekel is half of a Sela. Okay. So that means to say that you owe me. So now the Lova says back to the Malva, look, in terms of the loan amount, we're in a perfect agreement. It was a Sela. That's correct. I borrowed a Sela. But that Mashkon that I gave you was a Sela. Okay. Now, Pater. So over here now, there's not going to be a Shvuah. Again, this is a Mishnah Neshvuah. Mishnah Neshvuah is really focused on whether or not there's going to be a Shvuah or not going to be a Shvuah. So over here, effectively, we have what's called the kofar bakol. So the Lova over here is making a full denial of owing anything. In other words, why doesn't the Lova owe anything? Because as far as he is concerned, in other words, the Mashkon offsets the loan. The Mashkon's value is exactly the same value as the loan. And so therefore, right, the loan was a Sela, but the Mashkon was a Sela. So I don't owe you anything. He's a kofar bakol, and therefore there's not going to be a Shvuah. Now, hopefully you figured this point out already. Where's the Mashkon? Meaning we're arguing over the value of the Mashkon. Where's the Mashkon? The answer is, we don't know. I mean, that's why we're having this argument. Meaning the Malva is a Shomer. And again, I know there's a lot going on over here, and I know there's a lot to follow. The Malva is a Shomer. The Mashkon obviously was security for the loan. At the very same time, the Mashkon is also under the care and custodian of the Malva. So right now, currently, the Malva lost the Mashkon, obviously. So now when the Malva says to the Lova, you owe me money, and the Lova says, yeah, but you had my Mashkon. And my Mashkon was worth, good. So that's why we're having the back and forth over here. So the Malva has lost the Mashkon. Great. So now in case number one, so we have basically, from the Lova's perspective, it's a kofar bakol. He says, look, I don't owe you anything because that Mashkon that you were holding was the value of the actual loan. Case number two. Sela v'sicha la v'shekel hayashave v'ala amar lo ki ala sela hil v'sini ala v'shoshe dinarim hayashave. So now chayav. So in case number two, so over here again, the Malva says to the Lova, you owe me a sela. And as far as the Mashkon that you gave me, the Mashkon was worth half of that. And again, I lost it. But you still owe me a shekel. And the Lova says, no. The loan value was a Sela. Okay, we're all in agreement in terms of how much the loan was. That Mashkon that I gave you was not a shekel, but rather 3/4 of a Sela. Right, one dinar, 1/4 greater than what you claim. So, from the Lova's perspective, so I am rebuffing your claim, but I still admit that I owe you a little bit. I owe you a dinar. So this is what's called in halacha, moda b'miksas. Moda b'miksas. So now moda b'miksas, so now the Mishnah tells us that under those circumstances, chayv, now you have to make a shvua. The Lova has to make a shvua of moda b'miksas because he does admit that he owns part of the loan. Not as much of the loan as the Malva said, but part of it. Otherwise known as moda b'miksas. Good. So we have now cases one and two in that Mishnah in Shavuos. Case number one, the Lova is the kofar bakol. And case number two, the Lova is moda b'miksas. So far, so good. Case number three. By the way, all this is just set up. In other words, because what we're going to end up doing is that we're going to end up using this Mishnah as a kash against Rav Huna. Mm-hmm. So we're still in the setup.
So in case Nobody swears.
No, it's called for bakol. No shvur. Sela hil v'sini alav. So here we are now in case number three. And that is that in case number three now. Again, Malva says to the lover, you owe me a sela. I lent you a sela. And shnayim ayashavim. And the, I'm sorry. Now in case number three and four, now the towing over here is going to be the lova. The lova is going to be the towing. Now, usually that's a funny position. The lova is not normally the towing. But as we're going to see over here, what the lova is going to say to the malva is that I gave you a mashkon that well exceeded the loan value. And now you lost my mashkon. So the lova is now going to say to the malva, you owe me money. Okay, so. So now the lover says to the malva, so look, it's true I borrowed a seller from you, but shnayim hayashava. That mashkon that I entrusted you to watch was worth two salayim. And vahala omer lo ki ala seller hil v'sich ala v'sella hayashava potter. And the malva says to the lover, look, I lent you a seller, that's true. The mashkon you gave me was only worth a seller. That's it. And it's true I lost it, but in other words, everything is offsetting. And I don't owe you a thing. Again, this is now what's called kofer bakol. Over here, by the way, just I'm making sure that we're all clear about this. Now, in case number three here in the Mishnah, so it's really the lova who's the toin, and the malva is the nitan, and the malva is denying now. His denial is, I don't owe you anything, because that money that I lent you is equal to the mashkon.
So that's the mode of
mixus. It's not mode of mixus. It's kofer bakol. I owe you nothing. I owe you nothing.
I agree. It's supposed to work, but you lent me.
No. You think it was worth two salim.
Yeah.
So the lova's taina is that you owe me a full seller, right? And the malva says no, I owe you zero.
It
was not worth more than the loan. Good. So now pater. So this case, in this case, you'll be pater. Now seller, he'll be saying I love shnayim hayashavev. So here now in case number four. So again, the lova is a towing, and the lova says to the malva, the loan was a seller. And I gave you a mashkon to watch that was worth two salayim. Same as case number three, but here the malva says, "Hala omer lo ki ala seller v'sich ala v'chamishi dinarim hayashave." It was worth five dinarim. Okay, so it was worth five dinarim. So the truth of the matter is that I owe you. I owe you a dinar. So hayashave. So chayiv. So now this is going to be a case of moda b'mitzas. Meaning, as far as your claim is concerned, your claim is that I owe you a full sella. I don't owe you a full sella. I do, however, owe you a quarter of that, otherwise known as a dinar. Okay. So this is modem and mixus, and therefore the Mishnah says chayef. Good. So we have case 1, 2, and we have case 3 and 4. In cases 1 and 2, the malva is the towing. In case 3 and 4, the lova is the towing. And again, all this is a function of how much is the claimed appraised value of the mashkon. So far, so good. And then the Mishnah concludes with the following line. Minish, by the way, who makes the shvua? Misha pikadna etzlo. Whoever was holding the pikadna, otherwise known as the malva. So he's the one who would make the shvua. Shema yishva zevi yotzi Allah the pikadna. Because if we're going to ever ask the lova to make a shvua, so the lova is going to make a shvua. Now what? Meaning in that now it could very well be, says the Mishnah in shvuas, that the malva will all of a sudden have the mashkon materialize, meaning the whole reason why we're having this debate is because we don't know where the mashkon is. And then after the lova makes a shvua, the malva will produce the mashkon, and look now, you swore that it was worth this much, and now I have the item, it's worth this much. Okay, so therefore the shvua is going to be made by the malva, not by the lova. Now, ahaya, you have to ask the following question. Which is that last line of that Mishnah in Shavuos was commenting on which case. Now, there really are only, if you're holding well in this Mishnah in Shavuos, and I'm at the disadvantage, it's a good disadvantage, that I've gone over this Mishnah multiple times. So, like, in other words, I got the Mishnah now in my head. So, but of the four cases of the Mishnah, we can only be describing one of two cases, either case number two or case number four. Right? In cases one and two, and one and three, it's a kofar bakol. There is no shvua. So we're looking at either case number two or four. Now, in case number two or four, so we're saying what? The malva's got to make the shvua. So ahaya. So ilema seifa. So we're talking about case number four. Typically, the shvua gabe malvahu. The hakamode be mixes satana. Meaning, and the Mishnah is saying, oh, by the way, the Malva's got to make the Shvua in case number four. Yeah, we knew that. Meaning it's the Malva who's Moed to be Mixas. So of course the Malva's going to make a Shvua. I don't need a new reason why the Malva's going to make a Shvua. I got to make the Malva's going to make the Shvua because he is right now currently the defendant in the case. So of course he's going to make the Shvua. Okay, so it's not case number four. So if it's not case number four, so what are we left with over here? We're left with case number two. So, Elam or Shmua, Reisha. So my Reisha, Sefer the Reisha. So we mean the Reisha, but Gemara immediately clarifies when we say Reisha, we mean Sefer the Reisha. Case number two. Sell if you see Halav Shekel Hayasheva, Vahala Omer Loki Allah, sell if you see Halav, Shoshi Dinam Hayasheva, Chayev the Shvua, Gabi Lovehu. Oh. So now follow carefully over here in case number two. So what's happening? What's happening over here is that the Malva is the towing and the Lova is the defendant. And the Malva says to the Lova, you owe me. And in case number two, so the Lova says, I owe you part of what you claim. Not all of what you claim, but part of what you claim. So now who should be making the Shvua? The Lova should be making the Shvua. Because the Lova is a mode to be mixas. And so what did the Chachamim do in that case? The Lova said, no. We're not going to have the Lova make the Shvua. The Malva is going to make the Shvua. We can't have the Lova making a Shvua. Now, why not? Because the Lova now is going to put himself in a compromised position if he makes a Shvua. Because if the Lova makes a Shvua and says, this is how much the Mashkon is worth, right? In other words, based on his claim, so then what can happen is that he can be proven to be a liar. Because then what's going to happen is that the Malva will say, oh, you think the Mashkon is worth this? Just wait 1 second. And he finds the Mashkon. Now, again, by the way, we got to this point in time because the Malva was unable to find the Mashkon. But once he hears how much the Lova thinks it's worth, he'll make every effort now to find the Mashkon and prove him wrong. And so the Lova exposes himself, makes it susceptible to making a false Shvua. And Rashi points out over here, and what's so bad about that? Meaning, it's bad in of itself. But what's so bad about that? Rashi points out over here that he's going to be pasul la'edus, and he'll be pasul for making any future shvuas. Okay. Anyway, it's got ramifications. Good. So where are we right now? So we have learned a mishnah shvuas. We did a lot already today, and we just started today's daf, which is fine. So we learned the Mishnah Shvuos. The Mishnah Shvuos has four cases. In cases 1 and 3, it's a kofar bakol. In cases 2 and 4, so it's a mode to be mixas. So in case number 2, the love is a mode to be mixas. In case number 4, the mav is a mode to be mixas. Okay, hopefully you see it all clearly. And the Gemara's problem is that we haven't even gotten to the problem yet. And then the Mishnah says, and who's going to be making the Shvua? The mav is going to be making the Shvua. Why? So in case number 4, the Malva is making the Shvua because he's Moed b'Mixas. Klar, Pasha. In case number 2, the Malva is going to make a Shvua, that's a Chiddush. But the reason why the Malva is going to make a Shvua is because we don't want the Lova making the Shvua, because if the Lova makes a Shvua, he makes himself susceptible, eligible to have been proven to be false. And therefore, we're going to flip the Shvua from the Lova over to the Malva. Okay, so far so good. Again, I realize, there is so much going on over here. There's so many just variables to consider. I recognize that this is just tricky. Now, Ve'im Isa, but we're not done yet. Now, as we turn to the top of Lamin Hayamar Aleph, Ve'im Isa. Now, if Rav Huna...
Thing, like when he makes a Shvia, that's it's worth 3, it's worth 1. Who sells it?
These are Tainas. In other words, we don't...
That it's worth a shekel.
Good. In other words...
Who? Me?
There's a towing, there's an itan. We don't know. And because we don't know, so normally if you deny everything, you don't make a shvua.
But
here I'm not denying everything. I in other words, modib and mixas, you're right. You're partially right. So the good. So the Torah says that the nitan has to make a shvua. Modib and mixas. Now, the imisal of the Rav Huna, so now we get to the top of today's Amud. And the top of today's Amud now is that, now, do you remember how Rav Huna started off our daf today? That's why we started at a good point. Because you start with Rav Huna. So, if Rav Huna's right, Kevin de Mishava Mavesh, and Rosh Hashanah, Hechimati Mapikle. And now, remember, according to Rav Huna, when you are a Shomer, and you claim the item is no longer by you, so you start by making a Shvua. the shomer. In this case, the shomer being the malva. You start by making a shvua, and what's the shvua? The item's not by me. Oh. So now, consider the following. The malva, who is also the shomer, if Rav Huna's right, he's going to open up with, the item's not by me. Okay, let's go to Beis Din. I swear it's not by me. Okay. Now he just swore it's not by him. So if he swore it's not by him, so what did the Mishnah and Shavua say? Well, I don't want the Lova to make the Shavua because then the Malva is going to produce it. Well, how is the Malva going to produce it if he just swore that he doesn't have it? That's the Gemara's Kasha. It took us a really long time to get to this Kasha, but that's the Gemara's Kasha. To which the Gemara is going to give not one, but three different suggestions in terms of how to answer for this Kasha. Answer number one. Amarava, yesh edim shenisrafa. Number one, we have edim that the item was burnt, and so the reason why in the malva is not going to be making a shvua is because he doesn't need to. We have edim that it was burnt. So he hachim eichem aisila. So the Gemara says, okay. So if I have edim that say that the item was burnt, so now what are you worried about? You're worried about the malva producing the item at a later point in time, proving the lover to be wrong. We have witnesses. There's no better fact-checking than witnesses saying that the item was burnt. The item is not going to materialize. The item is burnt. So, Elam Rav Yosef, Sheyeshedim Shenik. Yeah, and let the lover make the shvua. So the Gemara says, Elam Rav Yosef, Sheyeshedim Shenignava. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's tweak the answer. We're still in answer number one. So we're tweaking the answer. The item say the item was stolen. So mehechem aisila. Okay, fine. So the item say the item was stolen. Okay, aren't we at the same place? Item's not coming back. Meaning we know the item was stolen. We're not. It's not based on what the malva is telling us. We know with edim, right? Verifiable proof now that the item was actually stolen. So the Gemara says the tarchum aisila. So the Gemara says yeah, but the item is stolen means that the item is still in existence. And once the malva hears from the lover how much it's worth, the malva is like, I'm getting that item back. The item was stolen from me. I'm going to get it back. I'm going to prove him wrong. So, so the Gemara says, okay. So when the Malva makes a Shavua, so isn't the Lova going to make every effort to find the item and recover the item? So the Gemara says, nah. I can imagine that the Malva will be able to recover the item. It was stolen from him. That part's true. But it was stolen from the Malva. Malva knows who went into his house, who left his house. And so the Malva at least has a fighting chance of getting the item back. But the Lova doesn't know the ins and outs of the Malva and who goes into his house and who leaves his house. Okay. Okay, so answer number one, why if Rav Huna is right, so then what are we worried about? The Malva made a Shvua. So the Gemara says answer number one, the Malva didn't make a Shvua. Why not? We have Edom. Okay. Abai Yomer, Abai gives a different answer, which is, Gzerah Shema Yitam V'yomer Lo, Acher Shvua Mitzasiyah. So, no, maybe the Malva will make a Shvua as per Rav Huna, and then he'll say, look, I know I made a Shvua, I didn't have it. My Shvua was good. I found it after I made the Shvua. Okay, fine. That's answer number two. And finally, answer number three, Rav Ashi Yomer Zenishba V'zenishba. So, Rav Ashi tells us that total misunderstanding, meaning Rav Huna is right, that the Malva, who is a Shomer in this case, is going to be making a Shvua, and the Lova is going to be making a Shvua. Everyone's going to be making a Shvua. So Zen Ishba Shena Bershuso, the Malva will make a Shvua that the item is not by him, Vezen Ishba Kama Hayashava, and the Lova is going to make a Shvua in terms of how much it was worth. Hachi Kamar, Min Ishba Tchila, Malva Nishba Tchila, and the only thing that the Mishnah Shavuos wants to teach us is who is making the first Shavua. The Malva is making the first Shavua. Why? Malva makes the first Shavua because we first want to establish that as per the Malva's claim, the Mashkin is not by him. We want to verify that. Well, we don't have Edim, so our verification is going to be via Shavua. So we're first going to verify that the item is not by the Malva as per his claim, and we'll do it via Shavua. Now, Lova, you go ahead. Now, you make a shvua in terms of how much it was worth. Okay, good. So as for the Chiddush of Rav Huna, the Chiddush of Rav Huna, again, this is where we started our daf today, that if a shomer says that the item is not by him and he's still ready to pay for the item, and you think, okay, good, he doesn't have to make a shvua, Rav Huna says, no, he has to make a shvua. And what's the shvua that's going to be made by the shomer who says that the item is no longer by him? The shvua is going to be?
I don't have it.
I don't have it. Okay, good. That's the Chiddush of Rav Huna. And now we just spent the first part of today's daf going through the Mishnah Shavuos. The Mishnah Shavuos seems to be against Rav Huna, and the Gemara defended Rav Huna. Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Rav Huna bar techlif mishmed Rav Amar, reisha de seifa tiyufta le Rav Huna. Okay, we have the Mishnah Shavuos in our head. Good. So case number three is now going to be difficult for Rav Huna. Why is case number three going to be difficult for Rav Huna? So let's review. The Gemara reviews for us. Selva, yivisina alav, shetayim haya, shava v'hala, omer lo kiyala, selva v'isich alav, selai, shava pater. So in case number three, so the lova is the towing. He's the plaintiff. Funny, but it's true. The lova is the plaintiff. We did this earlier this morning. So the lova is saying that, look, I borrowed money from you, thank you, but I borrowed only a selah. The mashkan that I gave you was worth 2 salayim, and you don't know where it is right now? So the lova now is making the claim. And the malva says, look, the mashkan that I lost was only worth 1 selah. It's a kofar bakol, and therefore I owe you nothing. Fine. V'imisal is Rav Huna. Now, again, if Rav Huna is right, so now what did Rav Huna say? The malva makes a shvua. And what's the shvua that's going to be made by the malva? The item is not by me. So now, migo di mishtava malva shen bershus l'shava nama agugo shvua kamaya shava. Oh, what a strong kash against Rav Huna. Because according to Rav Huna now, the malva is making a shvua just by claiming that the item is no longer by him. Already, right now, you're on the hook to make a shvua. Oh, and that's how much you claimed it's worth? Well, as long as you're making one shvua, so we have a concept called Gilgul Shvua. So once you're on the hook for one shvua, you know what? You claim it was worth that much, you're going to making a shvua on that as well. So according to Rav Huna, we now have the malva in a position where he's going to need to make a shvua towards how much its value is based on Gilgul Shvua. It's a strong question. Amar Avashi, Amar Yisrael Shmei Kamei de Rav Kana, Amar Li Tehei B'Ma'amino. So it's such a strong question that the Gemara is going to give an answer. Admittedly, it's a forced answer. The case under review is where the Lova said to the Malva, look, I'm handing over the Mashkin to you, and I'm going to waive you from having to make any shvua. I trust you. Okay. Right. Okay. Anyway, that's it. And in the case of Teheba Ma'amino, so once you waived him from having to make all future shvua, so you waived it. So v'nehemne lova l'malva nami beha kama hayashave. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, why isn't the lova trusting the malva in terms of its value? Meaning, if you say it's not by you, so again, I waive that. And you don't have to make a shvua. So then, if the malva is claiming it's worth 2, and the lova is arguing on that point, well, aren't we talking about a case where the lova trusts the malva? So lo kim le begave. So what the lova is saying to himself is, yeah, but he doesn't know how much its real value is. Meaning, in general, I think he's a good guy. I think the malva is a good guy. But he doesn't know how much the item is really is. It's my item that I gave him to watch. V'nehem de malva lova kim le begave. So why doesn't the malva trust the lova? So the Gemara says lo mehem le, but the malva doesn't trust the lova. So maisha lova de mehem le la malva, maisha malva de lo mehem le la lova. Well, that's really weird. What a funny dynamic. Meaning the lova trusts the malva doesn't trust the lova. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's a funny dynamic, but it's called an insight into human psychology and how people view one another. Lova mekayim be malva tumas yisharim tanchem, and malva mekayim be lova v'self bogdim yishadim. Pasuk and Mishlei, chapter 11, and the Pasuk and Mishlei teaches us the following, and that is that, again, this is how people perceive other people. Okay, and that is that when a person has money, so he says, you know why that person's got money? Because he's in God's good graces. He's a good person, right? God endowed him with money, so he's a good person. So you know what? I trust him. So obviously, the malva is a person of means. He's lending, The lova, on the other hand, is a person who's in need. And so therefore, in terms of how people perceive that individual, so in other words, somebody I can't trust. Okay. The Pasuk of Mishlei is reflecting realities of life. It's the realities of life. And so therefore, the Mishnah in Shavuos is describing a scenario where the lova trusts the malva, the malva doesn't trust the lova. The Gemara says, yeah, that's how the world works. Okay, right, wrong? It's simply how the world works. Okay. That kind of takes us to the first part of today's daf, where we're going to pause over here to breathe for just a moment. Okay. We're going to go back to a discussion that we had earlier in Bav Metzia. We're going to get to review it. We're going to be talking about foreclosing on properties and the ability for the person whose property was foreclosed to go ahead and to buy back that property, to get back that property. So it's going to sound awfully familiar. It is awfully familiar. We did this earlier in the Masechta, and we get to review it in today's daf. So there was a person who entrusted his friend to wash for him jewelry.
Earrings.
So Amalei Havli Kipi. So he says, okay, good. Can I please have my earrings back? Amalei Lo Yadane Hechlos Vina. So he says, oh, you know what? It's so funny. I took the earrings from you. That part I remember. And I put him in my safe place. I just totally forgot where my safe place was. Okay, I know we're all laughing because we've all been there. So I know I have. So Asa Lekamed Rav Nachman Amalei Kolo Yadane Pshiyusahu. So this part of the Gemara happens to be fascinating. Rav Nachman says that's negligence. That's pshia. That's negligence. Now, it's a little bit difficult for me to understand because we generally say that Gneva Vaveda, that's something that a Shomer Chinam can claim and it'll be potter. So to say that I don't know where the item is, so how over here is that negligence? But
it is negligence because that's your primary job to know exactly where it is because that's the guy you look
okay, good.
With you.
Correct. In other words, right. What Ben's saying, by the way, I think is absolutely correct. In other words, negligence over here, you don't even remember where you put the item. You were entrusted to watch an item. You don't even remember where you put it. It's not like I put it here and now I don't know where it is. In other words, right? You don't even know where you put it. Okay, good. That's negligence. I just wanted to accentuate that point. I think that's why over here, Rav Nachman, this is pshia. It's negligence. So zil shlim. Okay. So now, okay. Look, you took on the responsibility. You lost the item, and you don't even know where you put it. You have to pay for the item. So lo shalom. Okay. So the story goes over here. You didn't pay. So azar Rav Nachman agbe la padam inay. So Rav Nachman says, okay, I don't think you fully understand. You owe him money, and you're not paying. And so now what he's going to do is that he's going to foreclose on a property of yours. And that's exactly what he did. So Rav Nachman awarded a property over to this person, the owner of the earrings. These must have been nice earrings. So the Sofi Shakech Kipi V'Yakar. Now, eventually the earrings were found because that's how normally these things work. In other words, you do end up finding them. The earrings were found and the earrings were worth more than it was originally. It went up in value. So I'm Rav Nachman Hadra Kipa Lamare Vahadra Apan Lamare. So Rav Nachman says, okay, give him back his property, give him back his earrings. Okay, now the Gemara says, I'm a Rava. So Rava says, wait 1 second, I want to understand that. Meaning, So it happens to be that Rava was in front of Rav Nachman and they were learning Bav Metzia, Perek number 3. Perek Amafkid, meaning our Perek. And V'amri La, Shilim V'la Rasali Shava. And now, Perek number 3, Mishnah number 1, right, what we did yesterday, and that is that the Shomer, when he pays for an item that was lost or stolen, so what does he get to collect? Kefel. When I pay for an item, so I'm going to be getting the derivatives. If there's a bonus that comes with the item, I purchased it. And so over here now, the person who gave up his property, now admittedly not willingly, but okay, but and that's an important point, by the way. But I kind of gave away the answer. But the person who gave up his property for those earrings, so now shouldn't he be able to keep the earrings? And not only that, the earrings went up in value. He should be able to keep that added value, right? It's no different. At least right now, this is what we're thinking. It's no different than the case of, look, the item was stolen from me, the item was lost, I'm going to pay for that item. In the case of theft, if we find the ganav, I get the item and I get the kafel as well. I'm purchasing kafel. Isn't this the same case? Now it happened to be that when, as Rav Nachman was hearing my kasha, Rav Nachman kind of shrugged his shoulders. I don't think it's much of a kasha.
In this case, did he have to make a shviya shayna b'shitzah? To begin with, well, he said he couldn't find it. There's nowhere he hid him. Did he have to make a shviya shayna b'shitzah?
I hear you. It's a fair question. No, I'm not sure.
It's something here with the lack of knowledge where it is at all. Is definitely considered negligence, right?
Gemara said it. V'shaper avid delo adoli my time asam lo atchilah beidina achatchilah beidina. The Gemara makes the obvious distinction between the cases, and I already gave it away, but it's fine. it's not a crime. The difference between the cases is the following: in our mission here in Amafkid, so the shomer wants to do the right thing. The shomer says to the owner, look, right, the item was stolen from me. I'm ready to pay you. I'm going to pay you for the item. Now, in such a situation, now the owner says, okay, I'm going to forego it all to you. Meaning you're paying for the item, good. In the event that you find the item, you get to keep it. And if in the event that there's kafel, you get that as well. That's called a transaction. An agreed transaction between those two parties. Over here, consider our case under review. Our case under review, where are the earrings? I don't know. I don't know where I put them. Okay. Good, go pay him. I don't want to pay him. All right. Already, by the way, you can even hear it in my voice. Like, in other words, this person is, forgive me for saying it, but this person's annoying. But more than that now, he had to be taken to court, and Rav Nachman said, okay, well, we're going to foreclose on the property. This is not an agreed transaction between the two parties. He was forced to go to court. Rav Nachman had to take the property away from him. And now, what is he claiming? Oh, you know what? I get to keep the earrings and it's added value. Are you insane? Are you out of your mind? This wasn't agreed upon transaction. We had to go to court. The only reason why you relinquished your property is because I told you you have to give up your property. It was a court order for you to give up the property. It's not the same as what we're learning over here in Perek HaMafkid. Okay. So Lememar Desavar of Nachman Yeshuma Hadar, and here we get back to a discussion that we had earlier in the Masechta, and that is the following, and that is that a property is foreclosed, so can you go now to the lender, and can you at a later point in time say, hey, I collected the money, give me back my property, right? In other words, I'm going to satisfy the loan. I know I went into default, but here I am now with the money. I'm going to satisfy the loan and give me back the property.
Redemption.
Toda. So now can he do that? So the Gemara says, "Amem b'zavar of Nachman d'shuma hadar." So presumably, yes, you can redeem your property. So shani asam shuma betos havatikahava keep it meikara. So the Gemara says whether or not a property can be redeemed, is not relevant to our discussion over here, because over here he didn't default on a loan; he lost the earrings, but the earrings were there. He didn't know where they were. It's not the same. And Amri Naradai Shuma Hadar, and as long as we're on the topic, so let's quote again, second time in our Masechta, the position of the Yeshiva of Naradai, the Chachme Naradai Shuma Hadar, Atrei Sar Yarche Shasa. You have a year to redeem the property. So post foreclosure, so you have a year to redeem. As long as I have Alan here, just I'm curious, what's the law here in Florida? Okay, 10 days.
From foreclosure.
Huh? From foreclosure. Yeah. 10 days. Okay, woo. Okay. I want to see the world from Alan's eyes. He said, the Gemara says a year. It's like, wow. but wait, we're not. But wait, just wait 1 second. So the Amar Amemar Anam Hardana, Svirali, Shuma Hadar La'olam. Now Amemar says that I'm from Narada and I think that you can redeem indefinitely. You have an indefinite ability to redeem. So the Vehilchus Hashem Ha'ad La'olam and the
wait.
So Shem Ha'ad La'olam Mishum Yashav Atov. And the Gemara said, this second time we're hearing this in the Masechta. So if it shocked you the first time, so it's going to be less shocking the second time. And that is that you have an indefinite ability to redeem that property of yours. Why? The Torah says Vasisa Yashav Atov. I hopefully I have a good memory on this. I remember I quoted the Ramban last time. I'm going to quote it again this time. Right? Open up Chumash, Dvarim Vav Yud Ches, 6:18. And over there, you'll see the Ramban over there on this pasuk, Asisa Yeshav HaTov. Please forgive me, I don't have the Ramban in front of me right now. The Ramban says that, what does it mean, Asisa Yeshav HaTov? Do what's good. Of course, do what's good. What does that mean, do what's good? The Ramban says, look, when it comes to laws, when it comes to civil laws, so the Torah cannot possibly go over every scenario. Can't. Right? The number of infinite possibilities of what's going to happen in a civil case, when it comes to money and this detail and that detail, the Torah can't go over everything. What the Torah does is the Torah gives a framework of what to do, but after that point in time, there's going to be a lot of, you know, of jazz playing, if you will. So the what should be the underlying mission statement? Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Okay, so now all those gaps that need to be filled in civil law, so just do the right thing.
Huh? In the meantime, what happens?
Well, we're it's coming. So the so good. So over here, so look, in other words, somebody foreclosed on the property. You defaulted on the loan. Someone foreclosed on the property. So now, in other words, Asisa Yashar Tov, do the right thing. It was his property. He didn't Nebuch. He didn't have the money paid for, but now he does. Okay. So Shuma Hadar LaOlam. That's a Gemara. Pshita. Okay, so if let's say you have the Baal Chov foreclosing on his borrower who defaulted. Okay, so let's call the borrower A. Let's call the first lender B. And now you have another lender who has a loan outstanding against B. C on B. And what happens now is that C forecloses on B. On what property? The property of A. So now you have a property that's, you know, bouncing around, being foreclosed on by the first lender, by the second lender. So now, would it be okay if the original borrower now goes ahead and redeems? Can he redeem from C? Yes or no? So the Gemara says that's obvious. obvious. So yeah, in other words, you know how we told B do the right thing? We're going to tell the same thing to C as well. Meaning the property originally belonged to A. And the reason why the property was taken away from him is because he defaulted. But now he's got the money. Give him back his property. Good. The Gemara starts off with that's an obvious one. Okay. Now, Zavna, Ursa, Yave b'matana. Now, After the lender forecloses on the property, he either sells it or he bequeaths it to his kids, which means that he died, or he gives it away as a matana. So at that point in time, no longer eligible for redemption, no longer eligible, because the buyer, the kids who yarshined it, the person who received it as a gift, they didn't want money. They wanted the property. So at that point in time, it is no longer a redeemable property. That the Gemara says that one is also a no-brainer. Shamale le'isha v'insava. O shamale mine de'isha v'insava umesa. Before she's a wife. What if a woman forecloses on a property? And after foreclosing on the property, now she gets married. So now you know what her husband is vis-a-vis that property?
New owner.
He's the first buyer. He's a lokeach rishon. So the right, correct. But in other words, it is. In other words, while they're married, so it's nechzem look. But in other words, but vis-a-vis that property, he's considered lokeach rishon.
This could be a loophole that really could make people do things quickly.
You know? Yeah, correct.
Intentionally.
Oh my gosh, the way your brain operates is fantastic. It's so
all day long.
I know you do this all day, by the way, but you're so quick. So oh, shama minei disha vince baba nechse ishto lokeach. So lo mahader and lo mahadrin alei. So once she gets into a marriage, so the husband now takes first position. And Amar Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chenana Beusha Itkina, we know this already. They were misaking this in Usha, right? One of the exiled locations of the Sanhedrin after Churban Bayis Sheni. Isha Shemachar Benichzei Malug Bechaye Ba'ala Umeisa Ba'al Motzi Emiyad Lokuchos. That when a woman sells her property while she's married, So now what the husband's able to do is that the husband's able to foreclose on that property. What is he? So institution, an Usha institution, that he's the Lokech Rishon. Agbe Ihu Bechovo. Okay, and finally we're turning now to the Amud Beis of today's daf. And now case number four, right? Case number four. Yeah. In other words, case number one is that I had a foreclosure foreclosed on a person who foreclosed, right? Two lenders, lender A, lender B, lender C, whatever. Sorry. Two lenders, that was case number one. Case number, and whether or not you could redeem, the answer there was you can. You can redeem it from the second lender. Case number two was that the after foreclosure, the property was then either sold, bequeathed, or gifted. So then it's no longer a redeemable property. Case number three was that after the woman foreclosed on the property, she then got married and died. And the husband now is now in first position. Okay, now we're up to case number four.
Deed in lieu.
Explain to me after. Okay. Agbe ihu. Bechovo. So what happened was is that we didn't have to go to court. In other words, the borrower said to the lender, "Look, right, I'm stuck. Right, I'm going to default on it, but let's not go to court. Let me just give you my property." So over here, we didn't have to go to court, and it wasn't the foreclosure. So pliga by Ravach of Ravina Chadamar Hadra v'Chadamar Lo Hadra. Okay, so here we have a debate in terms of whether or not this is a redeemable property. So the argument that it's not redeemable is because this is just simply a sale. It's a sale. And umanda amar hadra savar lo zvinim al yehu v'haydag mimidaita v'lo asa l'dina machmas kisufu dagbe. And the argument that's a redeemable property is because, look, I don't want, right, I'm defaulting on the property, but I don't want to go to court. Going to court is embarrassing. Everyone's going to know about it. Everybody's going to know that I defaulted. So can we just skip the whole court thing and, look, I'll just give you the property. But in other words, but it's basically a default. It's basically a foreclosure without the court getting involved.
Deed in lieu of foreclosure.
Thank you. Oh. Thank you. And so the Gemara has the machlokas amarim in terms of whether or not this is redeemable or it's not redeemable. Let's just finish up to the Mishnah. And now, on a foreclosed property, so your relationship to that property you foreclosed on is admittedly tenuous. Admittedly. In other words, in the event that the borrower goes ahead and is able to collect and pull together some money in order to buy it back, he has a right to redeem it. So at what point in time now can you go ahead and start taking the peros of that property? Three opinions amongst the Amoraim, Rabba Amar, Michimacha Ajach Liadeh, once you get the order from the court to seize, by Amar Eda Vechasuma Zachin Lo, once witnesses sign on the Ajrachta, even though it wasn't even handed to the Malva yet, and Rabba Amar Michishlomo Yimech Razasa. And Rabba is of the position that there needs to be an auctioning period, and it's only after the auctioning period is over, then and only then, can the Malva go and start taking payers from the property. Okay. Let's end off quickly. We'll leave ourselves by starting with the Mishnah tomorrow. Okay, two really big topics that we discussed in today's daf, just as a quick recap. Number one, the Chiddush of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that when you're a shomer and you're not ready to pater yourself and you're going to pay for the item, Rav Huna says you still have to make a shua. Because your claim is that the item is no longer by you, you have to make a shua that the item is no longer by you. Why? Because of the concern that really what happened was that you developed a deep attachment to that item and you didn't lose the item. The item wasn't stolen from you. You just want to keep it. And the Chachamim understood the Yetzer Hara. And so therefore the Chachamim say to the Shomer, you want to pay for the item. You first have to make sure that the item is not by you. Okay. So that's the Chiddush Rav Huna. And what we did today is that we pushed on that Chiddush Rav Huna. The Mishnah Shavuos, that was a complicated piece of Gemara today. That Mishnah Shavuos, which seemingly is against Rav Huna, the Gemara defended Rav Huna. That was number one. And topic number two today was a review of the halachas of foreclosure. And that is that when a property is foreclosed upon, so the borrower can go ahead and redeem that property. When? Until when? So we saw that in Narda, indefinite ability to redeem that property. The Asisa HaYashavatov. Do what's right. Do what's right. Right? What a contrast, by the way, in the state of Florida, 10 days. Wow. Okay. And then the Gemara concluded today on the discussion of foreclosure. There will come a point in time where that property can no longer be foreclosed upon. And the Gemara went over four different scenarios, some of which it can be for it could still be redeemed, and some of them you can no longer redeem it.